And Lord, as we are gathered together, people that have been called by your name, called each one by name for action, Father, we thank you that we can glorify your name and your presence is in our midst. Because you said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in their midst. And we thank you that, Lord, because you are in our midst, you desire to speak to us, to bring about change, transformations, that our lives will never be the same again. And so we yield to you, Holy Spirit, we submit to you, and we pray that have your own way in this place. We submit to you, we pray that let the gifts of the Holy Spirit be in operation, O God, and the best gift be in operation, Lord. The gift that will minister to every need. We thank you and we honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's so great to be here. In a wonderful year of expectation and great things, we believe God wants to do great things. We have been looking at the book of Acts. I'd like to begin by asking, how many of us have done the homework? How many of us have done the homework? There are some people that are looking at me and say, homework? There was homework last week. I just wanted to know who wasn't in church last week, so that's why I'm saying homework. So we've been reading the book of Acts, and we've been tasked to read at least a chapter every day. If you're on Facebook, if you're on social media, you'll be able to see that we've been posting scriptures with some notes to reflect on. How many of us have been doing that? Reading the book of Acts? Okay. So for those of you that have not been with us, we understand probably you had your holiday, you took it longer. So welcome back. We welcome you to church. We're reading the book of Acts. And so we're doing a series from the book of Acts, but also we desire that you read, and so we'll be able to move at the same pace. I believe today we should be reading the book of Acts chapter 11. And so let's ensure we read that. And so last week, Pastor Sombo gave a brilliant introduction to the series that we began with the sermon titled, This Is Us. She helped us understand the definition of who the church is. And I believe last week's sermon is key and lays the foundation to what we're going to talk about today. So one thing we constantly see in the book of Acts is we see the work of the Holy Spirit. And one is right to say that the early church would be called or was called a Spirit-filled church. And so the Holy Spirit is the one who enabled the early church to be a Spirit-filled church. And so today, as we're looking at the topic or the title, the Church of God, I want us to focus on the Spirit-filled church. But to begin, I'd like us to look at and have an understanding of who the Holy Spirit is. I don't know what comes to mind when you hear the Holy Spirit. Because for some of us, when we hear the Holy Spirit, we begin to think of, oh, I'm not sure this is the place I should be in. Because many of the times we've heard about the Holy Spirit, we've heard is drama. All we think of is fire. All we think of is tongues and some confusion in a way. And so we try to disassociate ourselves from that. And we kind of think, ah, the Holy Spirit is for, you know, the crazy bunch that side. Are we seeing that? But who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the promise of the Father. He is God. The Holy Spirit is God. He's the third person of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is a person. He is not an it or a wind or a fire or a dove. He is a person. Are we together? He is a person and he is God. And we can see the Trinity right through in the book, in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1 to 3. We see the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And it says in verse 2, it says, the earth was without form and it was void. And the Spirit of the Lord was moving on the surface of the deep. Okay? So God the Father was there. The Spirit of God was there. So you're wondering, where was the Son in the Trinity? And then verse 3 says, and God said, that was the word that was spoken. So the three were there right from creation, telling you that all of them together, the three persons of God, created the universe. So the Holy Spirit is God. So I'd like us to begin from the book of John chapter 14. And why it's important to look at the Holy Spirit is that the moment we realize that the Holy Spirit is a person and not a force or a wind, we will embrace Him as a person and we will see Him more at work in our lives. In John chapter 14 and verse 15, He says, if you really love me, this is Jesus speaking, if you really love me, you will keep and obey my commands. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper. He will give you another helper. Remember, they work together. Comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby, to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive and take to its heart, because it does not see Him or know Him. But you know Him because He, the Holy Spirit, remains with you continually and will be in you. He's not just with you, He is in you. Are we seeing that? So Jesus promised the disciples that He will ask the Father to send the Holy Spirit. And so when we look at the Old Testament, we see how that right from the time of Abraham, Moses, it seems as though God the Father was a prominent figure in the Old Testament. You'd hear God the Father speak to Moses, speak to the prophets and things like that. Then towards the end of the Old Testament, we see what? Jesus shows up. He comes. And it seems that Jesus had a dispensation as well. And that is why, I think Pastor Sombo mentioned last week, that when Jesus was now saying, I'm going to the Father, it brought so much sorrow in the lives of the disciples because they're thinking, now we have somebody who, you know, He's got power. You just stand up, tell the sea, calm down, and it calms down. There's a man whose demon possessed, he's been beating everyone. He just cast out the spirit by a word. And so when Jesus says, I'm going to the Father, they look like it. How are we going to survive now? After we just started enjoying life with you. But then He tells them to say, I will not leave you as orphans. I will send the promise of the Father. Are you seeing that? Because why? There is a reason and a dispensation for the Holy Spirit. Meaning Jesus left, yes, but the Holy Spirit was sent. And that is why now is the time of the Holy Spirit. You cannot be a believer and be putting aside the Holy Spirit and think you will thrive and survive in this life. This is the time for the Holy Spirit. Because sometimes believers say, how I wish Jesus was here. If He just was here to strengthen me, then things would be better in my walk with God. You have the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit with you. Not only with you, but He is in you. The very same way Jesus was present is the very same way the Holy Spirit is present with you. And that's why He wants to do great things. This is important to understand. It is key for us to understand. Because I want us to remember that the time that Jesus was on the earth, there was so much peace among the disciples, comfort, strength. In fact, they even wanted to, if it's Peter and the team, at one time they even wanted to build tents on the mountain because it was so glorious, the glory days. And you know, sometimes these days we sit down and begin to think of the early church and say, it must have been great moving with Jesus. I'm struggling right now. I don't know. If Jesus was here, He would have just done it. He is there with you. The Holy Spirit is there with you. The Roman Empire was at full force in this time. And so when Jesus came, they were thinking, He has come to overthrow them. So we will then begin to rule. But that was not the plan. He has a different plan. So He says, I will ask the Father to send you another helper. Another helper. So let's look at it in the Greek. When it says another helper, the Greek word used there is allos parakletos. These Greek words. And so, allos is the Greek word which means another. Okay? And parakletos means comforter. So He is sending another comforter, like we saw in the Amplified Version of the Bible.
And so, this means that when Jesus is saying, I will send another comforter, he says, somebody just like me. Meaning, as I've been with you, he will be with you forever. Are you seeing that? But then he doesn't end there. As he's telling them this, he then gives them a job description of the Holy Spirit. This is what he would do. And he describes this in John chapter 16 and verse 13. He says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. He will tell you things to come. That one is very important. Because sometimes we are believers, we live as though, I don't even know what lies ahead for me. You know, only God knows. You are sick, you're thinking, only God knows. He says he would tell you things to come. He will speak about the things to come. And that is why he's able to tell you to say, do not go into this business deal. You'll be crooked. You still ignore him and go ahead. Then you start crying, Pastor, I didn't know. No, you knew. The Holy Spirit will show you things to come. He will show you things to come. And he says, he will glorify me. This is Jesus speaking. For he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I say that he will take of mine and declare it to you. This is very, very interesting and important. Because we have not been left as orphans. We've not been left stranded. We have somebody to help us. We have somebody to help us. Because if we fast forward to the book of Acts chapter 1, we see something happen that is interesting, that is in line with what we just read. And it helps us to understand why Jesus says he will not leave us as orphans. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 4, he says, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? They were still thinking about the Roman Empire being on the throne. And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. Verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. So the disciples had to wait for the promise. So if we have a closer look at this period of time of waiting, we see that it was a period of 10 days. And so probably you're thinking, okay, how did you know it was 10 days? Well, if you read your scriptures well, and you do a little bit of researching there, you realize that Jesus arose from the dead on the Feast of First Fruits. And so, in the Old Testament, there used to be feasts. And so, he arose on the day which was known as the Feast of the First Fruits. And there was what was known as a wave offering. There were different types of offerings then. A wave offering was made on this day. If you see that, you can find that in Leviticus chapter 23, verse 9 to 10. And so, the Feast of Weeks was also known as Pentecost, or in the Greek word, Pentecost, meaning 50th. And so, upon his resurrection on the Feast of First Fruits, there were 50 days after the wave offering. And so, Jesus was on earth, we see that in Acts chapter 1, for 40 days. And so if he was on earth for 40 days, showing himself to the disciples, it means that there were 10 days to Pentecost. That's how I knew. And so, I would like us to zero in a little bit on the 10 days. Because it's as though in the 10 days there is no one taking care of the disciples. Can we imagine what it was like for the apostles, their disciples in the 10 days? First of all is that you realize that after Jesus rose from the dead, they became the most wanted people in the kingdom. Because why? The priests and the Pharisees wanted to prove that Jesus was not alive. He never rose from the dead. And so anyone who was testifying that Jesus rose from the dead had to be dealt with. And so they locked themselves up. It's one of the reasons they were found in an upper room. They were together locked up in an upper room. They were in fear. Are we together? And so they were in fear. But as they were in that moment, the Bible talks about that when Jesus told them that I will, not many days from now, will send the Spirit, the promise of the Father. The Bible says they were filled with joy. So they were coming down from the mountain with joy, going down, getting rid of this fear, because they now had joy to say the promise is coming. But they did not know when the promise would come. So what did they need to do? They needed to tarry together in unity. They needed to be together in unity. So, when we talk about them tarrying together in unity, that is one of the reasons why the Holy Spirit came at once. Because where there is unity, God commands a blessing. And their lives were changed in one day forever. This change is the reason why you're seated here today. Because of what happened on this day, Pentecost, it's the reason why we're seated here today. Because a generation of people who were full of fear were transformed because the Holy Spirit came. They were changed. They were never the same again. They were never the same again. So I'd like to share three things that the Spirit-filled church does. But before we look at those three things, and I know there's more, this is us for the purpose of today. There's more we can talk about what the Spirit-filled church does. But I just want to look at three areas. I'd like us to briefly look at, before we start and get into the three, to briefly look at what Pastor Sombo looked at last week, just to remind us. She gave us a definition of the church. I say it's ecclesia, meaning the assembly of God's people, called and invited by name to action. This is the church. Because why am I talking about this? Because when we talk about the Spirit-filled church, we should not be thinking it's a building or a signpost showing or church this way. Or we should not be thinking it's the pastors, you know, those leaders, those people who stand in church, the ushers. No. It is everyone that is called by God, invited by name to action. So if you're a believer, you form part of the church. So, when we talk about, every time I'm mentioning the Spirit-filled church, you should not be thinking of a building or a signpost which says church. No. Think of the assembly of God's people called together for action. So if you've believed Jesus, you're the one I'm talking to. If you've not, I'm still talking to you so you can join the church. And so let's look at what it means to be filled. What it means to be filled. Because we're saying the Spirit-filled church. Okay? Because before we get to know what it does, so we've known what the Holy Spirit does, who the Holy Spirit is. But what is it? What does it mean to be filled? It has a very interesting Greek word, filled, called pimplemi. You don't need to know it, just hear it. It means that to fill or to make full. To fill or to make full. It also means to complete. Okay? It's got the idea of a sponge that has been put in water. It sucks all the water and it is full of the water. Are you seeing that? It gives the idea of a jar. I have a glass here. It's not completely full, but imagine it's completely full to the brim. Filled, meaning it's full. and what is contained on the inside is what has been filled of it. And so in this case, we're talking about being filled with the Spirit means you should be full of the Spirit. As a believer, you should be full of the Spirit. Not full of any other thing, but full of the Spirit. So Luke says that in verse 4 of the same Acts we read, chapter 1. And he talks about telling the disciples to say, he records the disciples being told to say, they were filled with the Spirit. Uses the same Greek word we use. He also brings the same understanding in the book of Luke chapter 1 and verse 12. Where he says, and Zechariah was troubled when he saw the angel. And fear gripped him. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah. For your petition has been heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. And you will give him the name John. You will have joy and gladness. And many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will drink no wine or liquor. We'll come and talk about that later. And he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. It's interesting, he's almost associating not being filled with liquor and wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because it matters what you are full of. Luke also brings another illustration. There are quite a number of scriptures here. Luke 1 verse 41, he says, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting. Remember he said that the baby will be full of the Spirit whilst in the womb. He says, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Was filled with the Holy Spirit upon a greeting. And you know, sometimes when we read some of these scriptures, we begin to think, I don't know, can it really happen? And I remember exactly that happening to me. Not exactly, but something close to that. I remember a time, because I need to be clear. I remember a time when I was feeling so discouraged, extremely discouraged. I didn't know. Sometimes you feel so low, you can't pinpoint it. You've not yet figured out what really, you're just feeling low. And I was feeling low. And so I decided to go and see my friend, child of God, spirit filled. He's a pastor somewhere. And the moment I saw him, he greeted me. There was a lifting on the inside of me. That the discouragement left. How, I don't know. God knows. But the truth is, because there was an anointing and there was a filling of the Holy Spirit. Because why? There was a connection with that person. And it's the very reason why, this is off my notes, but I feel I should share this. It's the very reason why that even when somebody's sharing or speaking, if they're not speaking from the word of God and it does not agree with you in the inside of you, there is no inward witness. That's how you can even judge prophecy to say this one is lying. They are speaking from their head. Because why? The Spirit of God on the inside needs to agree. There has to be an inward witness to say, okay, yes, this. There is a connection there. Are we together? Because sometimes people wonder, so, but Pastor, then how do you know that, okay, this is not the truth? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Are we together? I promised you three things that the Spirit-filled church does. Number one. A spirit-filled life or church is passionate about sharing the gospel. A spirit-filled church or a spirit-filled life is passionate about sharing the gospel. In other words, a spirit-filled church or believer shares Christ. Shares Christ. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria. And unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Listen to me, children of God. Without the Holy Spirit, you and I would not be saved today. Because the disciples would have still been fearful and would never have gone out to preach the gospel that has reached us. They would never have gone out. This is the reason why you can say, this is the reason why you cannot say this Holy Ghost thing is not for me, it's for those. No. This Holy Ghost thing is for you as well. Because God wants you to be full of the Holy Spirit. Because when you are full of the Holy Spirit, the power of God will be upon you. And what will you do? You'll be a witness. Because look at this. There is no way that the Spirit of God will come upon you and you remain the same way you were. You will be changed. You become a different person. And what happens? You will be empowered to reach out and share the gospel. So the Bible, in fact, Jesus said, the end will not come till the word of God reaches the four corners of the earth. How will that happen? Because the Holy Spirit would be at work in the lives of the church, the believers. But if we, the believers, are saying, no, this Holy Ghost thing is not for us, it's, you know, for those. Who is going to share the gospel? We are delaying the second coming of the Lord. Are we seeing that? In Acts chapter 3 and verse 1, says, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer. Being the ninth hour, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which was called Beautiful, to ask for alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give to thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. He, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. They were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man, which was healed, held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. Very interesting story here. This man sat and begged at the gate called Beautiful. And so from historical accounts, we see and we know that this gate was indeed an impressive sight. Much of it was made of Corinthian bronze. It was decorated with gold. So as the sun would shine upon it, the glistening brightness could be seen kilometers away. Yet sitting under its magnificent beauty was a suffering human being. The question is, how many of our co-workers or friends or neighbors appear outwardly to be doing okay, sitting at a beautiful gate? Yet inwardly they are struggling. Yet they are lost. They have no Christ. But on the outside they look like it's happening. It's quieting. It's going down. Things are going well. They are struggling. They have overextended financially. They are broke. They don't know what to do with their children. Their marriages are falling apart. But every time they're in your presence, it's keeping up appearance. As though everything is fine and all the selfies that they could post on social media. When back home, they don't even leave or they don't even sleep in the same room. One is in the lounge and the other in the bedroom. How many people do we know like that? Their job is probably hanging on a thread. They have lost all self-esteem. They are guilty and depressed. They don't know where to turn to. And we've all been used before. We've all failed before. We all need healing. Every person has a story. We've all been hurt before. It's happened to us. And we need Jesus. And that's the biggest need that anyone has. Jesus. People need a heavenly touch from God. What this man needed, indeed, was a touch from God. He needed what all people need, a touch from God. He needed the power of the Holy Spirit made available to him. But how was he going to get this power? Because every day he came to the temple. Every day he sat and he begged. He wasn't in the group that was there at Pentecost. You know that group? The 130 plus? He wasn't among them. He probably didn't even know what was going on. Because all he could do was be carried to the gate and sit there. So whatever was happening around the world, he probably didn't know. He lived his life out of the mainstream. He was oblivious to the good news of God. He probably didn't even go to church. He was at church, but not in church. And that happens even to us. On the church campus, on the church grounds, but never in church. Not even listening to the word. Sometimes we come in, but we come in late. And whatever was spoken that was supposed to bring the touch of God, we miss it. Because why? We are around believers, but we are not a believer ourselves. He needed something. He never wanted to go to church or to go inside, I don't know. But obviously he had needs and he was asking for alms. He needed help. That's all he did. He couldn't get into church. I'm not sure why, if he could have gone in. But why should he go? What was there for him? Because probably in church they were thinking they were going to be talking about offering. There was a wave offering, a feast of shine offering. So, he was thinking, why should I go? What's there for me? And unfortunately, this is the attitude of many people today. They are hurt, but they hurt in silence. Not being willing to share their intimate hurts with anyone else. And the church is the last place they want to go to. Many of them view the church as a judgmental society of self-righteous hypocrites. And you know where they get that from? The way we live as the church. That's where they get it from. We define who we are to them. And so because of that, they don't want to come. They don't want to come. But even if these people have a good view of the church, there isn't much to motivate them to drag their tired bones out of bed on a Sunday morning in order to come alone to one of its services. This crippled man may have been like that. Or we may be like this man. So the question is, who will bring him a heavenly touch? The answer is simple. It's the believers, the spirit-filled believers, the church, will bring the touch of heaven. The people needing help sometimes view the Holy Spirit as some fire or something crazy. Some crazy things that Pentecostals do. And truth be told, we as Pentecostals have not helped clarify the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. Because we tend to add crazy things to God's move and power. Children of God, it's time to share the gospels. It's time to share the gospel with signs accompanying. full of the power of God and the Holy Spirit. It's time to share Christ. Paul, Peter and John are there and say what? Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give in the name of Jesus. Rise up and walk. Listen to me. This is just a couple of days from the infilling of the Holy Spirit. It's not like Peter had so much experience. He had never raised anyone who was sick. Because sometimes we think we need experience. You don't need experience. The Holy Spirit is the one who is experienced at doing it. And He lives on the inside of you. All you need is believe and walk out and be the change that this world needs. There's so many people that are sick. There's so many people needing help. And we walk past by them thinking, hey, this one. We need to be a spirit-filled church. That when we see a need, we are moved by the power of God. We are moved with compassion. Then we stretch out our hand and help. And help. This man didn't need alms. He didn't need help. He didn't need the help of money. Yes, he needed money, obviously. But the greatest need he needed a touch from heaven. Because sometimes we think we just donate monies, we give monies. No, it's not that. And that's the reason why even when we do our outreach at Miracle Life, what do we say? Go and preach the gospel. Yes, you may give them a packet of sugar, but preach the gospel. That's the greatest need that man has. Let them have a touch of heaven. The Spirit-filled church is passionate about preaching the gospel. Passionate about preaching the gospel. Number two. A Spirit-filled life for church helps you keep away from sin. It helps you keep away from sin. And this is important because sometimes we have believers who are still thinking, ah, may I struggle. Today I confess. Father, forgive me. I've stopped. This is the last time. Last. Tomorrow again. Lord, this is the last of the last. And yet when we give an altar call for the Holy Spirit, you're thinking, those tongue things. Not for me. What you are refusing is what will help you keep away from sin. The Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:22-25 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. It does not say the fruit of our works. It is the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Living by the Spirit will help you overcome sin. Acts 2, verse 40. Says, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking bread and in prayers. Listen to this. They get saved. What do? Continually. They continued steadfastly. Where? In the apostles' doctrine. And fellowship. And in the breaking of bread and in prayers. They continued to do this. Why? And there's a reason why we encourage people to be in a connection group. Because why? There you'll be able to continue in doctrine and fellowship. There you have spirit-filled believers who will hold you accountable and be able to hold you up. In case you have a temptation, you reach out and say, help me, I need help. And you walk together. Spirit-filled believers walking with you. Because you're not in the company of those that still get you off the way of the Lord. Because the Bible says it. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Company was important for them. Because you will grow when you are among believers. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16 says, I say then, walk in the Spirit And you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit.
It is not the human spirit we're talking about, it's the Holy Spirit, because it's even a capital S.
Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh or the lust of the flesh. How would that happen? He will lead you. He will tell you, no, this is not right. Move this way. No, this is not good. He will tell you, go this way.
And that is why even someone, even especially a believer, even when you want to make a mistake, even when you want to corrupt someone, you have even packed that envelope, he will keep speaking. Even when you are even removing the envelope, trying to give him, he is telling you what you are doing is wrong. What is he trying to tell you? Walk in the Spirit.
Because when you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Are we seeing that? Something important I wanted to see here. It's in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. And he says, don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, I love the way God communicates. In Deuteronomy, he says, I lay before you life and death. Choose life. He's even giving you leakage. This is the best thing for you. Even here, he says, don't be filled with wine. It will ruin your life. But instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. There is a reason why this is so. We read when the angel was talking to Zechariah about John the Baptist. He says, and he should not be filled with wine, but he will be filled with what? With the Holy Spirit. The definition we gave on being filled, the Greek word, means to be complete, full of something. Are you full of wine? What you will bring out is wine-like. But if you are full of the Spirit, you will bring out life, you will bring out the power of God, and so you should desire to be full of the Spirit of God. Because it matters what you are full of. Because in this case, wine is a counterfeit of being filled. Feel nice? Yes, even when we're filled with the Holy Ghost, there is it's a wonderful experience. Okay? But it leads you to making wise decisions. It leads you towards seeing what God has for you, because he says he will reveal things to come. Are you seeing that? You begin to pray in tongues, because even the Bible says, building yourself up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in the Spirit, because you're full of the Spirit of God. You can pray in tongues, and as you pray in tongues, you're speaking out mysteries, according to 2 Corinthians 14. And so as you're speaking out those tongues, you're praying to God. Are you getting what I'm saying? You're praying mysteries to God. What are you praying? You're praying your future. You're speaking about tomorrow. You're praying about that job you've been believing for. You're praying them in the Spirit. But when you're full of wine, I don't know if you will manifest into praying in the Spirit. I don't think so. Because you are full of wine. It will lead you to ruin. It's a counterfeit. Because it leads you to sinful decisions. It leads you to making the wrong decisions that will ruin your life. Children of God, desire to be filled with the Spirit of God. Be filled with the Spirit of God. Spirit-filled life. When you're full of the Holy Spirit, it can be linked to sanctification, because it will lead you into living a holy life. If you read in Jude, the Bible says what? He that is able to keep you from falling. It is possible to walk upright. It is possible for you to walk upright and live for God and live a holy life. It is possible. Because you can be led by the Spirit of God, and God will help you. You have a helper. You have a strengthener, the Holy Spirit. And he says he will be with you forever. Not only with you, but he will be in you. Are you seeing that? Let's go back to the scripture we read earlier in John. He says, in John 14, verse 15, he says, if you really love me, you will keep and obey my commandments. If you really love me, this is Jesus speaking, if you really love me, you will keep and obey my commandments.
And sometimes you're thinking, hey, that one is tough. Should I keep all of them? How? Then he follows up. Because, you know, when scripture was written, there was no verses and chapters. So this is it is a continuation. He says, and I will ask the Father. So if you really love me, you obey my commandments. And I will ask the Father. He will give you another helper. What is he going to help you? He will help you to love me by obeying my commandments and keeping them. Are you seeing that? He says, he's a helper, comforter, advocate, intercessor, strengthener, standby, to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive or take to its heart, because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because he, the Holy Spirit, remains with you continually. And he will be with you. He will be with you. The Holy Spirit will be with you. The world cannot receive him. They don't recognize him. But we have believers today who refuse the Holy Spirit. And they live like unbelievers. But receive the Holy Spirit. And live like a child of God, and he will give you the victory. You'll be able to move in the power of God. You'll be able to see God use you mightily. Because sometimes we think the move of God is only for the preserve of those that have been ordained. No. Philip, if we read in the book of Acts, he was waiting tables. He was a waiter. Philip was a waiter. Philip was a waiter. A waiter full of the Holy Spirit. As he waited tables, he was full of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says what the Spirit of the Lord spoke to him to say, go to this place, and he goes there. And there was an Ethiopian eunuch there, reading the book of Isaiah. And he says, do you understand that? And he begins to interpret scripture. Philip the waiter, interpreting scripture. Are you hearing that? The Holy Spirit told him, helped him understand even the word of God. That even that eunuch was baptized. The Bible says, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, wait a minute. There's something I love about that scripture. Immediately after that, Philip disappeared. Philip, the waiter. Because sometimes we think these things, the supernatural or the gifts of the Holy Spirit only happen for pastors. But Philip was a waiter. Disappeared. And he appeared in another place and he was preaching the gospel. He didn't walk. The Lord took him and planted him in another place. You need you here to preach the gospel. We don't need God transporting people like that because he's counting on you to show forth the power of God. The Bible says that where Philip went, the word of God grew mightily. People were saved. They came to know Jesus. That is where now that Simon the sorcerer shows up in the book of Acts. After Philip had preached because he saw what was happening in that place. Philip the waiter. You might be John the accountant. Full of the Holy Spirit. That is what God desires. Full of the Holy Spirit. You might be Mary the director in a government institution. Full of the Holy Spirit. Who refuses to be corrupt. But chooses to move in the power of God. Because she knows that this nation needs people that are full of the Holy Spirit. So in short, a spirit-filled church is about maturing believers. A spirit-filled church or a spirit-filled life is about maturing believers. Through fellowship, through moving together with people that are full of the Spirit of God. And that's what God wants to do. Number three. A spirit-filled life or church impacts society. It impacts society. In fact, youth have a beautiful theme. It says, leave your mark. They make sure you leave your mark as a child of God. To say, oh, this one was here. There is an impact that you've had. What impact do you leave in your organization when you go? Are you known as one who abused fuel? Always cut corners. Or you are known as one that was full of the Holy Spirit and was a great example to many. What example do you leave where you go? Children of God. We need to be full of the Spirit of God. After Pentecost, the disciples were transformed people. And so we see people throughout the Bible who were never the same after they had an encounter with God. Paul is one of them. Peter. Even in the Old Testament, we have an example. In 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 6. The Bible says, "And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and thou shalt be turned into another man." Please keep it there. This is in the Old Testament where the Spirit of God will just come upon you. This was Saul before he became king. Samuel was telling him, "And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them." He had never prophesied before. "And thou shalt be turned into another man." But look at this. Jesus gives us even a better promise now. That the Spirit of God will be with you forever. Not just with you, but he will be on the inside of you. Because greater is he that lives on the inside of you than he that is in the world. And that is why you are changed into another person. Because why? You move by the power of God. That is why when you show up, if there was sickness, you say, "By the stripes of Jesus you are healed. Move, get up and go." Why? You're full of the Spirit of God. You're not waiting, "Hey, Pastor, you go Pastor." No, Pastor's line is busy. Try Pastor Sombo. Maybe Pastor Sombo. No, she's not around. Try the emergency line. You can speak because you're full of the power of God. Speak to the situation. Pray for somebody. You're full of the Spirit of God. We impact society. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 8. It says, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for the act of kindness shown to the man who was lame, and being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, by whom God raised, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed." Wait a minute. Is this the same Peter a few verses and days ago denied Jesus? Said, "I do not know him. I don't know him." The very same Peter now speaking and saying, "This man has been healed because of the same Jesus." This man was changed. It is not the Peter we knew back then who was full of fear. He was full of boldness now. The Spirit of the Lord gave him boldness. Why? "For we have not received the Spirit again to fear, but we have received the Spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind." That is the Spirit of God. That is the Holy Spirit. And that is the life that God desires that we have. A life full of the Spirit of God. Peter, no longer living in fear. With great joy proclaiming the gospel. Not even afraid. In Acts chapter 4 verse 31 it says, "After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken." You know, sometimes you can pray and you shake. It's not the bodies that were shaking. It is the place. "And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly." Please leave it up there. It says, "After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled." It didn't say some were filled. All were filled. All were filled with the Holy Spirit. And there is something that happened after the feeding. And they spoke the word of God boldly. God wants everyone seated in here filled with the Holy Spirit. That we will go out and speak the word of God boldly. It's not only for Rhema graduates. You may only know one scripture in the Bible. Stand on it. Preach the word of God. Listen, the good news is simply good news. What has Jesus done for you? "He has changed me. I was an addict. I'm no longer an addict." That is good news. Share it. That's all. And then the power of God will convict the person on the other side. And they will say, "I need this Jesus." Because we think it's complicated, like sharing the gospel has to be, you know, the 10 points to salvation. Then the by side, then salvation. After salvation, the 10 steps to baptism. Then after baptism, the 17 keys to getting Jesus. Then after 17 keys, no! And that's what we're thinking. But the good news is simply testifying what God has done on the inside of us. Listen to me. You can change no one. God is the one who changes them. Speak the good news. The Holy Spirit will empower those words and bring about a change in for somebody's life. That's what will happen. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And they assembled together with them. We read it earlier. And commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. And he said, you heard me from me. For truly, John truly baptized with water, but he will be baptized with the Holy Spirit, not so many days from now. Verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit is come upon you. Receive power, and you shall be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, to the uttermost parts of the earth. Children of God, we cannot be refusing and denying the Holy Spirit. The reason why you and I are saved is because the Holy Spirit came. He empowered people that were full of fear, that now they were full of boldness, that they went and proclaimed the gospel, that they went and preached Jesus. That is why you and I are saved today. Because of the work of the Holy Spirit. Let's embrace the Holy Spirit. These people were afraid. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 5, it says, then Philip went down to the city in Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded with the things spoken by Philip. This is Philip, the waiter. Hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Philip, the waiter, doing miracles. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed. Today we run away and say, hey, that spirit may enter me. Child of God, full of the Spirit of God. Come on. Be like Philip the waiter. Command the devil to go. Philip the waiter. He says, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Children of God, a spirit-filled church brings about joy in a city and a society. It brings about change and transformation. Let me say this. Sometimes we keep complaining, people like going to these crazy places, going to be deceived. There is a reason why people keep going to those crazy places where they're being deceived and called to pay money. Do you know why? People have real issues. They are looking for answers. The reason there's a counterfeit is simply because there's a region or somewhere. Give them the real thing, they will stop going there. Give them the real thing. Let them experience the true power of God. Because God still heals. God still sets free. God is still in the business of setting the captives free. Let's allow the power of God to use us. Let's not think it's for others. It's not for others. In the book of Acts, in Acts 5, we see how they try to arrest and killed it, the apostles. But there was a turnaround that happened. Something happened. You can read it in your time, in Acts 5, chapter 5, verse 33. A man of Galilee, he told them to say, look, even if we try to fight this, there have been people that have risen before talking about, no, these are in the Savior and everything. They've all died. So if these guys are from God, it will stand. We are here today because the move of the Spirit is from God. As we conclude today, let's be careful not to allow the world to hinder us from moving in the power of God. Let's move in the power of God. A story is told of Thomas Aquinas. When he visited the Pope, Pope Innocent II and found him counting a large sum of money. The Pope said, Thomas, the church can no longer say silver and gold have I none. "That is true, Your Holiness," Thomas said. And then Thomas said, "But then, neither can it now say, 'Arise and walk.'" Simon Peter did not have money then. Sometimes we think it's just give the money, they'll go off. People need a touch from God. People need a touch from God, that their life will never be the same again. People need a touch from heaven. But that touch from heaven is not going to come like fire or lightning from the sky. God is using people like you and me. He's actually counting on you that He should use you. The question is, will you partner with God? Will you partner with God? Bow your heads with me. Father, we thank You. Thank You that You desire to use us for Your glory. We thank You for the Holy Spirit, our helper. Thank You, Father. Peradventure you're here, and we're talking about the Holy Spirit and the move of God. You've never given your life to Jesus. You've never accepted Jesus. Please, let's not be going out. Let's respect this moment, because this is somebody's destiny and eternal life. Let's respect this, please. Let's not walk out. And probably you're here, you've never made that commitment to follow Jesus. We want to give you that opportunity right now. Or maybe you're a Christian and you know God has called you to do great things, but you've not been living for Him. You've been living in sin, you've backslidden, but you're saying, "I want to come home." If you're such a one, just raise your hand. I want to see you wherever you are. I want to pray with you that you meet Jesus. Accept Him, because you cannot move in the power of God unless you've accepted Jesus. That's the first thing. Thank you for that hand in the back. You're saying, "I need Jesus in my life. Yes, things have been crazy. Things have not been going as I desire. Come to Jesus." Or you're a Christian and, yes, you probably have lost it. Come to Him. Come to Him. He will help you. As every eye is closed, let's all stand together. And if you raise your hand, or you're thinking you should have raised your hand, please come to the front and meet me here, and we pray together. I ask that we don't walk out. Please, let's respect what God is doing in our midst. You're saying, "I need Jesus in my life. I need to make things right." What a wonderful way to start the year, or to start the decade, and walk and follow Christ. Wherever you are, come. Come. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come. Come. Jesus is so happy by the decision of one soul. God bless you. Come to Jesus. Do you have anybody else? He's saying, "I need Jesus. I need to make things right." And look at this. Nobody will look down on you to say, "Even you've been living in sin." No. Probably a person who's thinking like that was doing the same thing. They need to come. Come to Him. Because He wants to help you. It's an opportunity for you. We'll wait for you. Come. Jesus loves you. He loves you. He loves you. Thank you, Father. Please look this way. You can go with Norwegian. He will be able to pray with you and give you a book. This way. Thank you. With every eye closed, I want us to focus on God as we close, as we're concluding. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit. And we've seen in Acts chapter 2 that the disciples had an experience. From living a life of being timid, the power of God came on them. They were never the same again. If you're saying, I would like...